If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. I just want to thank Pastor for the opportunity. Never take it lightly or take it for granted to open the Word of God, to receive what the Lord has in store for us. Matthew 2 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." I want to preach from this title tonight, A Gift for the King. A Gift for the King. If you're going to help me tonight, can you put down your Bibles and just join me in prayer that God would open up our ears, open up our hearts to receive his word right now? Jesus, we can't do anything without you. We look to you right now with expectation. Lord Jesus, we want you to speak into every hungry heart, God. Lord, you see the fertile soil of people's hearts tonight. God, I pray that your word would go forth and it would be planted in the fertile hearts and it would bring forth fruit. God, I pray you would encourage and you would lift people up and you would strengthen by your sweet anointed presence tonight, God. Lord, as we open your word, let it come alive, Lord. Take the scales off our eyes. Give revelation and understanding and knowledge tonight, God. I pray, Jesus, help us tonight to grasp the word that you've laid in my spirit. And we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. And it's the time of year where people are getting their Christmas list ready. They're putting out everything they want for their presents and their gifts this year. And not only are they putting their list together, but they are letting everybody know in their proximity what they want this year for Christmas. They're letting their family members know what is on their Christmas list. They're letting their social media know what is on their Christmas list. And they are petitioning the throne of heaven that he would somehow send them that BMW car that they're praying for on their Christmas list. God, if you'll just give me a $20 raise, that's all I really want. Nothing else, nothing more. That's all I really want. And we have these Christmas lists that we put together. And in thinking about Christmas lists, I began to think about all of the gifts that God has given to us. James 1 and 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Can I just give you a word of encouragement that every good and perfect gift comes from God, and you will not be disappointed. You won't be discouraged after receiving the gift that the Lord has in store for you. Can I just encourage somebody? There's nothing like the gift of the Holy Ghost. Once you experience that gift, it's like a fire shuts up in your bones and your lips starts to move and your mouth starts to quiver and you speak a heavenly language, and that's a gift that's out of this world. You'll never experience a gift like the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll start to walk different. You'll start to talk different. You'll act different. Your conversations will be different. The way you dress will be different. The way you conduct yourself, your attitude will be better if you have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thinking about all the wonderful gifts of the Lord. We had just come through the Thanksgiving season, and we can say that Thanksgiving is refined just for a season. But it is the Lord's will that we ought to give thanks in every season. And we can look at all the many blessings and the gifts from the Lord. There's a verse in John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Some of you may not know this verse. But it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And the thing that jumps out at me at that verse, that if you have true love, it causes you to give. If you truly love someone, it causes you to give. It causes you to give even from a place that's inconvenient, that's uncomfortable, just to put a smile on somebody's face, just to make them feel happy. You're going to go out of your way because you love them and you care for them. And some of you are looking at your bank account and your spouse or your family has said, "I want this for Christmas." And you're saying, "I can't really afford it." But I feel like you're going to dig so far deep that no matter how much it costs, you're going to make sure that they get that gift this Christmas season because you love them and you care for them and you want to bring joy to their life. So God so loved us that he gave of himself. He came down in flesh and walked among us and dwelt among us, and he wrapped himself in flesh and hung on a cross that we could experience salvation. And that is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. He gave us his life's blood for our salvation. He gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. He gives us mercies that are new every morning. He gives us grace that is sufficient. He gives us peace that passes all understanding. He gives us a joy. I wish I could tell you, but I can simply say it's unspeakable. And I wish I could tell you that once you've tasted and seen of the goodness of the Lord, there's no gift that you would want. There's nothing like receiving his Spirit, his mercy, his grace, his love, his unfailing grace towards us. Oh, the wonderful gifts that God has given to us. I'm here to tell you tonight that as you walk with the Lord, it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, the gifts that you will unwrap in seasons of your life. And you'll look up to heaven and say, "My, oh my, what a mighty, awesome, powerful God he is." So I'm looking at the goodness of God, the gifts that he has given to us. The question must be asked tonight, if God has given us so many gifts, so many blessings, then what is the gift that I can give to him? We could all sit here tonight and say, "Man, I'm so blessed. Man, I have money in the bank. I have my food in the cupboards. I have my car and the gas for my car." And we can say, "Man, I'm so blessed." We can so thankfully receive that blessing. But what are we giving in return? What is the king want as a gift? What does the king want as a gift? In this story in Matthew chapter 2, we find three wise men who beheld a star in the sky that was no ordinary star. These wise men were learned in the scriptures, and they had no doubt read from the prophet Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. As they would journey on through the writings of Scripture, they no doubt came upon the passage of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, where it would proclaim, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, his name shall be called Counselor, and he is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace." And I just want to pull over for a second and tell you that Jesus is the Mighty God. There's one Lord, there's one faith, and there's one baptism, and there's one God and Father of all who is above all and in you all. There is one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that revelation. I don't have to pray to three different gods. I can just say the name Jesus, and that covers all the bases. His name is above every name. When you call that name, demons have to flee, and mountains begin to shake, and chains fall off of people. There's power, power in the name of Jesus Christ. I wish I had just a witness tonight to just take a second and magnify the Lord. If you know his name has power. I haven't come to preach tonight about the president. I haven't come to preach about some world dictator. I haven't come to preach about Putin, the president of Russia. I haven't come to preach to you about some world leader, but I come to present to you the King who stands above them all, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is Emmanuel, God with us. If you look to your right, you'll see Jesus. If you look to your left, you'll see Jesus. He's beside you, behind you, and all around you. That's why I will not fear what man will do unto me, because I know the one who is greater than them all, and his name is. Aren't you thankful tonight that you have a name you can call on in the midnight hour when you can't call anybody else? You just begin to find yourself in a prayer closet. You bend your knee, you look up to heaven, and you don't have to have all the right words. You just speak the name of. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. He is the Prince of Peace in your life. You can try drugs. You can try therapy. But why don't you try the Prince of Peace? I feel a liberty in the house of the Lord. I feel a freedom in this place right now. Somebody ought to just tap in right now and say, Jesus, don't pass me by tonight. I want an infilling of the Holy Ghost. I want chains to be broken. I want a freedom tonight. Halabasataya labahayalabasataye. Halabahaye. What a mighty God. In the next verse of Isaiah chapter 9, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Man, I feel freedom in the house of the Lord tonight. My goodness. Halabasataye. Halabahaye. The next verse says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." Can I just tell you that his peace will endure in your life? No matter if you're a new convert, you've been here for a week, or no matter if you're a seasoned saint who has been here for 60 years, there's a peace that will follow you. There's a goodness and mercy that will follow you if you link up to Jesus and say, I'm hanging on. Nothing's going to stop me from having a relationship with Jesus. There's an increase of his government. And there's a peace that continues in every walk of life. It continues and it will endure. This prophecy from Isaiah was prophesied 700 years before the star appeared. Now that's an amazing fact to me. There was a man of God who looked down through time and he said, I see something about to happen. It was 700 years later that the prophecy came to pass. His word, God's word, is so powerful. And being the students of Scripture as they were, they remembered the story of Balak, who was the king of Moab, and Balaam the prophet, who he hired to curse the Israelites. Now, Balak, the king of Moab, he paid Balaam the prophet, and he said, hey, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go up on the mountain, and I want you to curse the people of God. And Balaam said, all right, I'll do it, but I can only prophesy the word that the Lord puts in my mouth. And so he gets up on this mountain, and he's looking over the people of God, the Israelites. The Bible says he opened up his mouth, and instead of cursing the people of God, he prophesied a blessing over the people of God. Balak was distraught, and he said, man, I'm paying you all this money, and you won't give me the word that I want to hear. Sounds like a lot of preachers and pastors and churches today. I'm giving you all this money. Why don't you just tell me what I really want to hear? They went up a little bit higher, and Balaam said, I can only prophesy what the Lord puts in my mouth. And a second time, he opens up his mouth, and he prophesies a blessing over the people of God. Balak is so mad and furious at what this prophet Balaam is doing. He said, just do what I ask you to do. I'm paying you all this money. And he said, Balaam said, let's try a third time. They go up a little bit higher, and Balaam opens his mouth, and he begins to prophesy. And as he begins to prophesy, he prophesies blessings and favor and victory over the Israelites, the people of God. Balak is so mad and furious. Balaam looks at Balak and he says, I have a prophecy for you. You're having me prophesy over the people of God, but there is a prophecy that is for you, O king of Moab. The prophecy is found in Numbers 24 and 17. It says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Can I just tell you what the enemy meant for evil? God turned it around to be a curse to the Moabites. Can I just tell you, there's no curse that the enemy can put on the people of God that God can't turn it around and cause it to be a pathway of victory for the people of God. I don't care what witches are doing. I don't care if they try to cast spells and try to prophesy over us. We are destined for victory. We have been called. We have been chosen. We are a royal priesthood that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. There is a blessing on the people of God. There is a favor that rests upon your home. There's a favor in your family. There's a blessing when you go out, and there's a blessing when you come in. There's a blessing on your down sitting, and there's a blessing in your uprising. There's a blessing in the works of your hands. All your finances are blessed of God. The blessing is greater than the cursing. The blessing is greater than the cursing. I don't care what the enemy is trying to open your eyes to see. The blessing is greater than the cursing. He said, there's something coming so close, something that is so near, but I don't see it right now. He said, all I see is a star out of Jacob, and a scepter is arising out of Israel.
And the three wise men remembered all of these writings and all these passages of Scripture. And so when they saw this star, it wasn't just some ordinary star. It was a star that had prophecy linked to it. It was a supernatural star. And these three wise men set out on this journey. And in verse number 1 of chapter 2 of Matthew, it says in the latter part of that verse, it says, "Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now that word "behold" simply says to stop and consider and stop and notice what the conjoining phrase is about to imply to us. It says, stop for a minute and consider this. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now we can just hurry on past that verse and it doesn't mean anything to us, but to convey to you tonight that these wise men didn't just travel across the street to see the star. It wasn't something that was in their neighborhood and they thought, man, this seems like a fun thing to do. I'm just going to go across the street and see this star. This is not something that the wise men did, but these wise men set out on a journey, and this journey was not just a couple hours. This journey was 800 miles. That is a long journey if you don't have a car, if you don't have a bus, if you don't have a train, and if you don't have an airplane. All you have is this camel. And you can walk faster than the camel. All you have is this camel, and you're set out to see this newborn king. It's 800 miles. This is no small task. It would take them approximately 4 months to get to the place of where this star hovered over. 800 miles and 4 months. The question must be asked from the very first verse is, how far would you go to see Jesus? Man, it's hard. I'm preaching to all the people online. Man, it's so hard to come to church on a Wednesday night because it's a 30-minute drive. I just got off work. It's really inconvenient for me. I'm going to have to go out of my way to go and have an encounter with Jesus. I just can't do it tonight. But these three men said, no matter what we have to do, we're going to get out of our home. We're going to travel 800 miles. No matter how long it takes us, one thing is for sure. We're going to see that King Jesus. One thing I've made up in my mind, I'm going to see the newborn King. I don't know what everybody else is doing. I don't know what the news says. I don't know what my job's up to. But one thing is set in my spirit. I'm going to see King Jesus. You can do what you want to do. You can laugh at me. You can make fun of me. You can say it's worth nothing. But I made up my mind. I'm going to see King Jesus. I'm going to see him high and lifted up. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to throw my crown at his feet. I'm going to worship him no matter what they say. I made up my mind, no matter how long the journey, no matter how long it takes, I'm gonna see King Jesus. No matter if I have to be a saint in the house of the Lord for 80 years and go through diseases and pains and agonies, everything will be worth it all to see King Jesus. The inconveniences, you feeling uncomfortable, all of it will be worth it when you look up and you see the one who sits on the throne and you can say without a shadow of a doubt, I'm so thankful for every sacrifice. I'm so thankful for every meal that I missed. I'm so thankful for the all-night prayer meetings. I'm so thankful that I gave in tithes and offering. I'm so thankful that I gave of my time and my money and my energy for the kingdom of God. It will be worth it all to see Jesus. It'll be worth everything that you have in your possession. Job had nothing when it was said and done. The trial had come. The enemy had taken everything from him. And yet you would find in Job chapter 1 where he would say, naked came I into this world, and naked I will return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. There was still a blessing on the mouth of Job. He said, you can have it all. I just want relationship with the Lord. You can take my money. You can take my cattle. You can even take my family. But I need relationship with the Lord. It'll be worth everything. It'll be worth it all. Job, in Matthew chapter 2, we begin to go on to verse number 2. It says, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, I haven't come to put some fancy ribbon on this message tonight or to put some cute packaging around this message, but I simply want to say that a gift from the King is called worship. They said, we have simply come so we can worship this newborn King. We don't have any ulterior motives. We have no agendas, no other plan. We've simply come to worship him. And a lot of people, when they come to church, they have so many preconceived ideas and so many ulterior motives and so many agendas, and they're looking over there, man, I hopefully they don't make eye contact with me because I'm upset at them because they didn't shake my hand last Sunday. And you have all of these motives and agendas, and you have all these feelings built up inside, but these three wise men said, we are simply come to worship Jesus. Can I just encourage somebody that you ought to come to simply worship Jesus? I could care less if there's a pianist. I could care less if there's a praise team. I could care less if there's a name brand preaching the message. I've simply come to worship Jesus Christ. I haven't come to be entertained. I could care less what the person in my pew is doing, but I've simply come to pour out my worship before the King of Kings. If we are not careful, we can lose sight of what all of this is about. When it's simply boiled down, it's about worshiping Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to just lift your hands right now. Come on, you ought to tell him how much you love him from the depths of your hearts. Come on right now. God, I love you so much. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to come and worship you. Oh, how pleasant it is to praise your great name. I haven't come to ask anything of you. I haven't come to petition you. I've simply come to pour out my worship before you. That's what he wants to hear, church. He wants to hear a church that's so in love with him, that's so enamored with him, that so adores him, that's so in love with him. I could care less about a service program. I just want to worship Jesus. I don't care if it's a Wednesday night. I came to worship Jesus Christ. La I feel a sweet presence of the Lord here right now. The Lord wants to inhabit the praises of his people. And when he comes down and envelops himself in your worship, all of a sudden your worry starts to dissipate. And all of a sudden your fear starts to bow, as they sang about tonight. As you begin to worship the King, he begins to make his throne upon your worship. And things begin to happen. You begin to see things like you've never seen. You feel hope rising up inside of you that has been dormant for so long. That's what happens when you worship the King. Oh, how wonderful it is just to sit at his feet and to love him over and over again. Just to tell him how wonderful he has been. Just to tell him how many times he's shown up when you knew nobody else was coming. How wonderful he is. He is the wonderful. He is the counselor. He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. And he is my Prince of Peace. Come on, can we just take a moment on a Wednesday night? I have so much more to say, but I feel an interruption here right now. Somebody just pour out from the depths of your heart your worship to him. Right now on a Wednesday night, you don't know what's going to happen the remainder of this week, and you don't know what's going to happen this month. But why don't you just stop and say, I worship you, Jesus. What an awesome God, so merciful, so gracious, so long-suffering to us, not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What an awesome God he is. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. There's nobody like King Jesus. That's it, church. If I can just take one more moment, if that's okay, you can remain standing. The presence of the Lord is here. So many times I feel like we overcomplicate this, but really what it comes down to is your worship. The devil would love to have your worship. The first thing that the enemy took from Job was his cattle. And that's what he used to put on the altars to worship the Lord. At the very core of it all, Satan was after the worship of Job. And the enemy is after your worship tonight. If he can take your worship, he can take your doctrine. If he can take your worship, he can take your devotion. If he can take your worship, you'll find your way out this back door of this church and you'll never return. It all boils down to your worship. That's what you're going to give the King. I just want to leave you with this, and I could talk more in Matthew chapter 2, but I really, really felt this today when I was studying for this message. But there's a story in your Bible in Mark chapter 14, and Jesus put so much emphasis on this story that he said, whenever the gospel is preached, this story ought to be rehearsed in the hearing of the people. Mark chapter 14, verse number 3, it says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. In John chapter 4 and verse number 23, it says, the Lord is seeking worshipers. Not just any worshipers, but worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. What that word spirit means, it means passion or fervency. You ought to do it with all of your might, with the depths of your heart, from the depths of your mind, from the depths of your soul. You ought to make this a dwelling place to worship Jesus. Not only in spirit, but in truth. You have to be honest before him. You have to be transparent before him. You can't have some secret place in your heart where you have built up for yourself and you said, Lord, you can't have this place. This is just for me. You have to be open and vulnerable to Jesus. Worship him with a fervency, with a passion. But not only that, worship him with an honesty in your heart and say, God, I can do nothing without you. In you I move and in you I breathe. In you I have my being. Everything I have belongs to you. So here's my worship. Here's my worship, God. In this story in Mark chapter 14, the lady just didn't pour out the ointment. The Bible says she broke the box of the ointment. She removed the restrictions. She removed the restraints. She took off the limitations. And she said, I'm not holding anything back. I'm going to give you everything that's inside this box. I wish somebody would break out their worship tonight and say, I'm not holding anything back on this Wednesday night. I'm going to worship Jesus Christ. I'll lift my voice and worship Jesus Christ. Him alone I will worship. Him alone I will adore. Him alone I will exalt. Him alone I worship tonight. Come on, somebody, all I want you to do is lift your hands and break out your worship before the King. That's the gift that the King wants tonight. He doesn't want your pretty prayers. He doesn't want you to say soft words or have well-eloquated speech. God wants your worship tonight.